The Bible reading tonight for our study, looking at gleanings from the lockdown trail, is once more in Psalm 91. I want to come to this psalm again and to consider something else that we find here. Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life will I satisfy him, and show him my salvation." Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of this great psalm. What a great psalm Psalm 91 is, and how appropriate and how relevant for the day in which we are living. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to have a daily walk during this time of lockdown, and it has focused my attention on the works of creation, God's creation, and the various objects that have become more noticeable. The birds in particular have become more noticeable in these days. It is, of course, that time that the Bible refers to as the time of the singing of the birds, and especially early in the morning. When you get up at the break of a new day, you can hear the dawn chorus. The singing of the birds is so pronounced, it's so evident, and it is emphasized. The psalmist, under divine inspiration, makes a comparison between the Lord and the birds. And of course, when we refer to the psalmist being under divine inspiration, we're simply saying that it is the Lord who is speaking through the psalmist. And the Lord says in verse number 4, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust." The psalmist is making this comparison between the Lord and the birds of the air. The significance of this comparison, indeed its preciousness, is only rightly and fully appreciated when we consider the catalogue of foes that he lists in this psalm. Look what follows in verse number 5. He speaks about the terror by night. The terror by night. And of course, nighttime has a peculiar way of intensifying terror. The faintest of sounds can create the greatest of alarm. The creaks, the rattle of a window, they intensify the sense of terror. The night makes us victims of exaggeration. Small things become aggravated. The molehill becomes a mountain. And when the night settles upon the soul, the spirit is cast down, it is then that we quickly lose the sense of perspective and the sense of proportion. You remember Jacob, with all the troubles that befell him when he thought that Joseph was dead, that a foreign ruler was going to take away his youngest son, Benjamin, and he cries out, "All these things are against me." He was in a nighttime experience when all of these situations became exaggerated and aggravated, and he thought they were overwhelming. Think of David. He said, "I shall one day perish at the hand of Saul." He wasn't going to perish. The Lord had said he would become king. But David is sinking down into that sense of fear because the nighttime in his soul had exaggerated the problems that he faced. "I shall one day perish at the hand of Saul." The terror by night reminds us of insignificant obstacles becoming enlarged and multiplied. The terror by night. But the night doesn't last indefinitely. And soon the day breaks and the sun begins to rise and cast out its rays of light upon the earth. And the terror by night becomes forgotten. And yet there is another foe. In verse 5, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." So when the terrors of the night time have faded, there is also a foe to be faced in the dawning of a new day. The arrow that flieth by day, and that would signify the hand of an enemy that has taken the arrow and put it to the bow and let go, aiming that arrow at the individual. The daytime is the opposite of the night. And yet in the daytime there are enemies, there are snares, there are dangers, there are difficulty. If we translate that into the spiritual realm, when that night season passes and the day comes, the day of better things, the day of prosperity, yet that very day can bring its own peril. The arrow slays many in the day of prosperity, when everything is well, when the sun is beginning to rise and you can see the light of the sun in the distance, a day of prosperity. And how often it has been the case that in such times the arrow has slain any inclination towards God. There are not only troubles in the night, there are troubles in the morning. But then the psalmist also identifies the noonday. He talks about the destruction that wasteth at noonday. We must not reason that troubles and terrors belong only in the night season. The noonday, when the sun is at its height, that sun brings its own particular problems. It hardens the earth. It can induce the most severe of droughts. And when all things are going well and prosperity in the things of this world abounds, it may be that very time when the soul is withered up and the soul becomes parched and barren and there's a season of spiritual drought. You can see how David is, or the psalmist is, moving through the different stages of the day, the terrors by night, and then the arrow that flieth by day, the pestilence that walketh in darkness. And the darkness, of course, brings us to that evening experience, whenever the shadows lengthen and the chill begins to fill the air. He talks here about the pestilence that walketh in darkness. There are many plagues that come when the shadows lengthen, not only of a physical kind, but spiritual. The depression of mind, the oppression of spirit, despair settling into the heart. The psalmist speaks here of a catalogue of foes that are all around the people of God. But against the backdrop of this catalogue of foes, the psalmist presents to us the all-sufficient, the glorious resources that belong to believers. He gives us this great promise. In verse number 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. He sets out here in the first place the condescension of the Lord. The Lord condescends to liken Himself to the birds. He takes the characteristics of the birds in order to illustrate Himself and to illustrate His care and His action toward His people. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. The Lord created the fowl of the air in order that they will be object lessons to us in the spiritual realm. And if you study that line of thought through the Bible, you will come to that conclusion. In fact, I think we are able to say that the Lord has a special love towards the birds of the air. Do you remember that time in John's Gospel? John chapter 2, when the Lord went into the temple and He saw the corruption that was in the temple. And He found, verse 14 of John chapter 2, He found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when He had made a scourge of small cords, He drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. Now, the Old Testament law had required these animals to be offered in sacrifice. But the Lord's action on this occasion demonstrated how there had been an abuse of that lawful requirement. It had become a matter of business, a matter of profit. And the Lord drove out the money changers. He overthrew the tables, and with this scourge of small cords, He drove them out, and the sheep and the oxen. But isn't it interesting? It doesn't mention the doves when the Lord was driving them out. It's only when we come to verse 16 that we find these words, He said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. He drove out the money changers. He drove them out with their sheep and their oxen. But He didn't do that with the doves. He said to their owners, He said, take these things hence. I believe that shows something of the Lord's thought and the Lord's heart, even towards the birds of the air. And as you follow that line of thought through the Scripture, you will find that the Lord on many occasions refers to the birds in order to convey spiritual truth. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4, He said to the Israelites, I bear you on eagle's wings. Then when He was nearing His death and He entered Jerusalem, He said to Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. He makes the comparison with himself and the birds that he has created. He created those birds in order to illustrate himself. And now the Lord condescends to our level of understanding, and he points us to the feathered fowl, and he says, look, look, look at how the bird, the mother bird, looks after her young. She spreads her wings over her young. And the Lord says, I do the same. I do the same. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. All of creation is an object lesson. The Lord has created these visible objects in order to illustrate himself. And he points us to the birds, the feathered fowl, in order to convey to us this wonderful aspect, this wonderful characteristic about himself. What a great step of condescension this is. In itself, that in itself is something that ought to encourage us, that ought to call forth and prompt within us a spirit of praise. The Lord condescends to our level, and he has filled the sky with the birds in order to illustrate himself, his own care and compassion toward his people. There's not only this condescension on the part of the Lord, but there is in this fourth verse of the psalm, there is a tremendous confidence that is imparted to the Lord's people. Look how tender these words are, how precious these words are. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Oh, what a blessing, what a blessed state, what a blessed condition. If you look here at what the psalmist is saying, what the Lord is saying through the psalmist, he's identifying the blessings that he imparts to his people. Think of the image here of the bird stretching out its wings in order to envelop its young. It speaks of concealment. When the bird covers her young with her wings, they are concealed. They're no longer seen to a predator's eye. They are concealed. And the Lord says, I have done exactly the same for my people. The apostle said that we are hidden in Christ. We are concealed. When the great accuser comes, he cannot see us because the Lord has covered us with his feathers. We're under his wings. We are concealed in him. We are hidden in him. When the law comes with its just demand and with its righteous indignation against transgression, the law cannot find the people of God because we are covered by his feathers, under his wings. We are concealed. And therefore, the law cannot pass its condemnation upon us. This thought here of the bird stretching out her wings to cover her young speaks of that concealment that the Lord's people have. We are hidden in Christ, hidden in God, hidden in Christ, concealed. But there's not only concealment here. There's the blessing of protection. Protected from all predators. You think of when a predator comes in the sky, a hawk, in order to snatch away the chicks, to snatch away the young. And the mother bird wraps her wings round about her young. She conceals them, yes, with the intention of protecting them. And she will take the attack. She will take the harm, as it were, that is inflicted when she has her wings stretched round about her young. The Lord is saying, I will protect my people. I will protect my children. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. There's not only concealment, there's not only protection, but there is shelter. Shelter from the heat of the sun. And under those wings, the little ones find shade from the scorching heat. And the Lord shelters his people from all the scorching trials and afflictions of this life. Under his wings, we find that place of shelter. But is it not also a place of warm embrace? When those little birds are under the wings of the mother and her feathers cover them, they can feel the beating heart of the mother. They can feel the warmth of that heart. And when the Lord says that he will cover us with his feathers, under his wings, you know what he's saying? He's saying, I will embrace you. I will envelop you. I want you to be close to my heart. I want you to feel my heartbeat of love. Do you remember on that eve before the Lord died on the cross and he gathered his disciples around the table? And the Bible tells us about John, who was leaning upon the Lord's breast. He could feel the heartbeat of the Son of God. And the Lord instituted the supper, the Lord's supper. This do in remembrance of me. And where is it that we will feel and hear the heartbeat of divine love? Where is it that we will find and feel the warmth of the heart of God toward his people? It's at the cross. It's at Calvary. The Lord envelops us with his feathers. He hides us under his wings so that we will feel his love. We will know his love, the heartbeat of divine love to his people. Oh, what a blessing this is. What confidence these words impart to the people of God. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. But notice finally the connection between divine agency and human responsibility. The psalmist identifies what the Lord does and also what believers do. The first part of this statement refers to the Lord. The focus is upon him. He shall cover thee with his feathers. He shall cover thee with his feathers. This is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's action. The Lord covers his people. It's not something that we do. It's something that he does. We can say he has covered our sin. He's taken all our sin upon himself at the cross and received its curse, its penalty, its judgment. And with his own precious blood, he has covered all our sin. He covers our soul. He covers our life. He envelops us. He protects us. He shelters us. This is his action. This is his work. He shall cover thee with his feathers. This is the Lord's doing. Our protection, our preservation, our sheltering from all the scorching afflictions of life, it belongs to the Lord. It's the Lord's prerogative. It is the Lord's promise that this is what he has promised to do to his people and for his people. He has promised to preserve us, to keep us, to protect us, to shelter us. He shall cover thee with his feathers. This is the Lord. This is the Lord's action. And the psalmist draws our attention to this divine agency on the part of God. But he also highlights our responsibility. And our responsibility is simply to trust him. Look at the way he writes this. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. This is what you're to do. This is what we are to do as the Lord's people. We're simply to trust him. And trust, remember, is always connected to the Lord's word. It's always connected with the Lord's promise. That act of trusting is the act of resting upon what the Lord has said. So the faith that is referred to here in the latter part has a direct connection to the first part. We trust this promise. He shall cover thee with his feathers. And the experience of that, the effect of that, will cause us to trust the Lord more. As we experience the Lord covering us like a bird covering her young with her feathers, as we experience that, it will instill confidence. It will inspire faith. It will increase faith. It brings us to that place where we simply trust in the Lord. And the great promise is, following on from this in verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid. You see, when we're in that place, covered with the Lord's feathers, under his wings, living by faith in his word, trusting his promise, it is there that fear cannot abide. Hiding beneath his wings and depending upon the sure word of his promise, we shall not be afraid. Our life shall be possessed by a fruitful quietness. Every changing mood of the very day shall bring good and not ill. The night time shall bring its treasure. The morning shall be the minister of gracious dews. The noonday shall deposit its glory, and at evening time it shall be light. What wonderful words are these? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Amen.